Here are the words of the Lord Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our gracious God, we praise you that the Lord Jesus is the source of rest. And in our frenetic and frustrating lives, much of the time, where we have little time to think of things that are of eternity and things of ultimate significance, where the urgent so often pushes out the important, we pray that these next 20-25 minutes would be a precious time for us. We pray that we would hear you speak to us individually and corporately. We pray that you would point us to your Son and help us to see how to live in a stressful world. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And it's the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12, from 22 to 32. And that's page 44 in the Green Book. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
Augustus, thank you very much indeed for reading for us. May I add my welcome to you in this very busy time of year. I'm really glad you've been able to make it and join us today, especially if you're here for the first time. A particularly warm welcome to you. Now, there's no doubt that the issue that we have to consider as we work our way through Luke's Gospel, the issue we have to consider this afternoon is a really hot topic. Just like money and greed last week, so anxiety and stress are features of every one of our lives. One writer has described London as having, as one of its hallmarks, restless anxiety. And you can see that the matter under consideration in our teaching today is worry. It's there in verse 22, "Do not be anxious." It's there in verse 25, "Which of you by being anxious?" Again in verse 26, "Why are you anxious?" Verse 29, "Nor be worried." We worry about all sorts of things, don't we? You know, we worry about the economy. We worry about our health. We worry about our children. When we stop worrying about our children, I've noticed we start worrying about our parents. Our savings, our salaries, our retirement packages, education, schooling, all these things give us cause for concern. Of course, employment plays on our minds frequently. Will I get that job? And once I've got that job, will I keep it? And then we worry about our relationships. Will anybody ask me out? Can I trust him? Will she leave me? I've noticed people worry about their social life. Will I get invited? Once invited, what shall I wear? And when there, how should I behave? And as I leave, did I say something wrong? So there's no doubt, is there, that anxiety is a hot topic for us. And what we're going to find Jesus doing is giving us both a stress-busting perspective and an anxiety-arresting priority. But before we get into close study of what Jesus has to say, I want to just make two preliminary points. The first is that Jesus here is addressing Christians. His instruction, you can see from verse 22, is to his disciples. And that very important verse 32, he refers to his listeners as little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The context in which he's speaking is that of the faithlessness of the surrounding culture. And because the essential motto of the surrounding culture was eat, drink, be merry, so the resulting condition of the surrounding culture was stress. The culture of Jesus' day was highly religious, but their religion was pure externalism. They polished the outside of the cup, but inside they were full of greed, said Jesus. And therefore, there was no living, active trust in the God who loves and the God who is there and the God who cares. And of course, if your motto is eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die, all that matters is matter, there's nothing more to life than life, then your life is going to be filled with anxiety and stress if there is no trust in a living God who loves you and cares for you and whose good pleasure is to give you as a gift membership of his kingdom. Now, Jesus' point is that he wants his disciples to be radically different in a stress-filled society. And he wants his disciples to be governed by a different perspective and driven by a different priority. In place of greed, generosity, sell your possessions and give to the poor, commands Jesus. In place of fear, faith, O you of little faith, says Jesus. And in place of anxiety, ambition for his kingdom. Seek, and in Matthew's gospel, seek first his kingdom. In place of anxiety, ambition for his kingdom. So there's the first little initial point, that he's speaking to disciples here. And let me say, if you're here as somebody who would not call yourself a follower and a disciple of Jesus, then here is the key to the end of stress. It's a wonderful thing. And you should be able to look at us, and we always get it wrong and make a hopeless mess of it, but you should be able to look at the Christian family and say, here is a group of people who are not driven by anxiety. Second preliminary, and that is just to say, some of the things Jesus says here are really quite strong, and I'm going to present them in as far as I can the way Jesus presents them. But there are bound to be, in a group of this size, some people who are medically kind of preconditioned to be anxious. And I spoke to one of our medical professionals in the congregation here at St. Helens and just said, you know, what should I say? And she said, well, tell them that, you know, they still need to see their doctor and they still need to take the tablets. But if you are somebody who has a medical condition like that and, you know, you are sort of medically preconditioned, then take this passage, read it, learn it. Learn it by heart and practice the stress-busting and the anxiety-alleviating formulae. First, the stress-busting perspective. I wanted to see here that it is essentially pagan to worry. Worry is unworthy. That's the language Jesus uses. And I wanted to see that it's ultimately pointless to worry. Worry is unnecessary. Verse 22 and 23. Page 44, if you've lost the page. He said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Now, of course, the non-Christian world worries. Of course the non-Christian world worries. No surprise that your unbelieving colleagues are stressed. They should be. If your motto is the motto of the rich fool who we looked at last week, that all there is to life is to eat, drink, and be merry, then you're going to be consumed with anxiety about your clothes and food, of course. But if life is more than food, and the body more than clothing, then you will be able to trust the living God who cares. No surprise, then, that as unbelief in an active God who loves and cares grows, so anxiety increases proportionately. Stress is essentially pagan, is what Jesus is saying. And the point is made several times in the passage. If you look at verse 29, he says it again. If God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Don't seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Now, I know that, as I've mentioned already, there will be many, many worries and anxieties and fears represented here this morning. But if we are Christian disciples, I hope we can see what Jesus is saying to us. And in order to make the point all the more forcefully, in verse 24, Jesus gives us our first stress-busting exercise. Verse 24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouses nor barns, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So next time you're really stressed, before you reach for the whiskey bottle or the night nurse, whichever is your particular potion, head out into the field for a moment and look at the birds. They don't build storehouses for their grain, and they don't even sow or reap. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you and I than the starlings? The argument is from the lesser to the greater, and the point is obvious. It is essentially pagan to worry because it suggests I don't trust God. And it's unworthy to worry because it suggests, actually, that though God looks after all these other creatures, he's not going to look after me. Let me deal with the first objection. Oh, says somebody, is Jesus advocating the same philosophy as Dylan from the Magic Roundabout, if you remember him, who sat under his tree with a spliff, as far as I can remember? Or Tumba from The Lion King, Hakuna Matata, a whole life philosophy. No worries, mate, let's head down to the beach with a six-pack. No. The birds are busy about their work. Look at them. The flowers of the field do put down roots into the soil. So, yes, apply for the job. Work on your CV. Invest wisely. Save sensibly. But remember, you're not a pagan unbeliever. There's a Father in heaven who cares for us. It's his pleasure to have given us membership of his kingdom. We're in. We belong. We're children of his. So don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will put on. Verses 25 to 28 then contain two further images, both of which build on the truth of a loving God who is there, who loves us and cares for us. Worry is pointless, and worry is unnecessary. Verse 25. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, we've not got footnotes in these little Gospels. If we had the Bible on our seats today, we'd be able to turn up and see that verse 25 can also be translated, which of you by worrying can add 18 inches to his height, a single cubit? And again, the point is obvious. You can't actually add any time on to the length of your life, can you? And you can't grow yourself, however much you worry. I tell you what, next time you're lying, tossing and turning in bed, worrying about the state of the market or this, that, the children or whatever it happens to be, let me give you a second stress-busting exercise. Instead of going down to the kitchen and pacing up and down with the TV remote in your hand, lie on your bed, concentrate really hard, take it very, very seriously, and see if you can grow yourself by 18 inches. Now, if you are still awake in half an hour time after really serious concentration, then nip out to the back of the door where your family all measure yourself. You know, put a mat on your head and see whether you've succeeded. Of course you haven't. You can't add a single inch to your height by worrying. You can't add even a minute to your life, or take away some time from your life by worrying. So says Jesus, if you can't even do a little thing like that, then why do you worry about the rest? Worry is pointless. We can visit and revisit the website. We can ring around all our medically qualified friends. We can play and replay every scenario in our mind. We can't add an hour to our life. But there is a Father in heaven who cares. We are members of his kingdom. He has given us membership of his kingdom. So leave the stress to the pagans, says Jesus. They've got every reason for it. They're going to meet God in judgment at the end of their life. That's enough to absolutely terrify a person. But you've been forgiven by God. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. Don't worry. A second objection. I remember speaking on this passage as a very new curate, just started in church leadership down in South London in Bromley. And I was speaking to the 20s to 30s group, and there was a lovely guy called Clive, a real South Londoner, down there, who is part of the group. And I'd given, you know, what I thought was a reasonable talk, and I was just drawing to the end, and Clive piped up from the back, "What about the sparrows?" And I couldn't think what he was talking about. I said, "Yeah, but they get run over." And I have to say, I was completely floored, didn't know what to say. But on the way home, as is always the case, you know, I thought about, what about the sparrows? And that is exactly the point. God knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. God cares for the sparrow. He knows every detail of our world. He knows when you're going to die. Do you know, it's not going to be a big surprise to him when William Taylor turns up across the threshold of heaven to meet my Father in heaven. God's not going to say, well, I never. I fancy seeing you here. I wasn't expecting that today. No, he knows every minute of my life. So why worry? Says Jesus. And then worry is unnecessary. Consider the lily, how they grow. They don't toil or spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, I was thinking of heading down to the florists in Leadenhall Market, except I haven't got the cash for it. You have to be a millionaire to go and shop there, don't you? But anyway, I was thinking of heading down to the... Probably you will shop there, but I was thinking of heading down to the florist to buy a bunch of lilies, but that's not the point, is it? The flowers under consideration here are not the carefully manicured stems from whatever florist he happens to be, or genetically modified tulips from Amsterdam. No, the grass is the grass that grows on the mountainside in the Middle East, lasts a day and then is gone. And Jesus' point, look, God decks it out beautifully. Think next time you need to get out a bit if you worry. Have a look at the snowdrop that may be poking up through the frosty surface. Look how beautifully God has decked it out. Not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like that. And if God so dresses the flowers of the field, how much more will he provide for you and me? Ah, says somebody, third objection. You've no idea of the responsibilities that I have. This is 21st century London, William. I'm not a first century subsistence farmer. My concerns are far, far bigger than simply getting food and a shirt for my back. It's all right for them, but I've got a business to run and people to employ and a family to keep in the manner to which they're accustomed. You haven't seen my Christmas card list or my social life. Well, maybe. Might it be that God, in his goodness, as your loving creator, is in the process of bringing me to a position of less exaltation in society so that I and my family can be of use to him in reduced circumstances? Stop worrying. Might it be that in his goodness, he actually considers it's time for me to go home, to be with him in eternity forever? Or for my loved one to go home and be with him forever? Stop worrying. Am I naked? No. Am I starving? No. Are my children unclothed? No. Are they unfed? No. Did Jesus seek to maintain his position in society and rush around fretting frantically? No. His was a downward projection in his life to the cross. Did the apostles rush around trying to make themselves rich? No, they didn't. They went downward as well. Can we add a single hour to our life by worrying? No. Is there more to life than food and clothing? Yes. Is there a God in heaven who cares? Yes, there is. So don't be anxious. A stress-busting perspective. Now, can you see what Jesus is doing here? In the face of an unbelieving, religious, materialistic culture, he is grabbing his disciples and he is wrestling with their worldview. Do you believe in God or not? Do you trust him that he's given you membership of his kingdom or not? Do you have faith or not? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, what a pity we haven't got time for the anxiety-arresting priority. I'll try and come to that when we resume this series in January. So come back on January, whatever date it is. I think it's, is it January the 11th when we start up again in this passage? We start on the 4th. Somebody else will be speaking then, but we'll be back. And I will try and make sure, because it's fascinating what Jesus does. He commands us to seek his kingdom first, to have that as our ambition, to sell our goods and to give to the needy. And that actually will arrest your anxiety. If you make your number one priority his kingdom, and if you say, well, what have I got that I can sell and actually get rid of all this clutter? And if you give to the needy, you'll find your anxiety is genuinely arrested. This is for Christians who have been given the kingdom, of course. For the non-Christian person, they simply won't understand it, I suspect. Let's pray. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How we praise you, our Father in heaven, that as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that you are the God of grace, that you are generous, that you give and give and give and give and give. How we praise you for the assurance, the security of knowing that we are part of your kingdom by grace as a gift. And we pray that you would help us to practice what we have learned today. Lift from us these needless anxieties, we pray, and plant in us genuine trust in you, the living God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.